my name is Juicy Pat Lucy, and you're listening to episode 30 of the Juicy Details. We are 30 episodes in. That means if this was a Royal Rumble, my guest today would be entrant number 30 and have a good chance of winning. As long as he's not Rey Mysterio, because if it was, it would be a disappointment. It is still Where Are They Now month, which means I'm still interviewing, guys, gals, from the independent wrestling scene who, have fallen off the map a little bit or have completely retired. And, as far as I know, my guest today, is retired from professional wrestling. So I'm gonna let him tell the story, why he's retired now, and ask a bunch of other questions. So let me get him on and get rolling with this interview.
Joining me right now on the Juicy Details, episode 30, he is a former Ring of Honor star, Pelly Primo. How you doing today, Pelly?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I just said at the beginning of the show, if this was a Royal Rumble, you would be entrant number 30 and have a good chance of winning.
Well, that's different for me. I'm not used to being in the favorite position, so
yeah,
that's pretty good.
If Rey Mysterio can do it, maybe you could do.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not knocking you on your size either. I'm just saying.
Hey, thank you.
So let me get started with some questions.
Yeah.
The first question is a pretty standard one. Is how did you first become a fan of professional wrestling?
Wow, my family watched wrestling, which is kind of unusual, I think.
Your whole family?
Yeah, my whole family watched wrestling, WWF, Survivor Series, things like that. That was like family gatherings. So I grew up on Hulk Hogan, you know, I was more of a traditional fan. Later as time went on, my brother started watching WCW, so I got more into it the older I grew. Ended up finding ECW on my own just by chance, staying up around 2 a.m. one night on public access in Philly. I think they used to show it on WGTW 48.
What year was that?
That was, had to be mid-90s. It had to be around that 95 period, I think, I started watching it.
Okay, so this wasn't ECW on TNN.
No. Yeah, it was before that, man. Yeah, that was...
Looking back at it, yeah.
Yeah, back towards that 95 to 97 period, that was back when Dreamer and Raven was really hot. And this was back when, you know, guys like Rey Mysterio and Psychosis were on television in the U.S. for the first time, I think, anywhere. I've never seen anything like that. And I saw, especially back then, Rey was a small-framed guy, too. That was the first time I saw anyone under, like, 5'8" wrestling, you know? Like, WWF back then, those guys were giants. So, seeing things like that on ECW first really expanded your boundaries of what you thought could be wrestling, so that really got me into thinking that maybe I could do it, you know.
What do you say Mysterio and guys like his size, his style, what do you say like he inspired you to become a professional wrestler later on?
I don't know if it directly inspired me. I was more things that I wanted to do were more along the lines of like things like Tommy Dreamer, I still think is one of the best babyface wrestlers of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
Those were the matches that I watched. Guys like Rey Mysterio, like I loved what they did and it made me think that I could do it. I don't know if I really planned on emulating those guys as much as I did. But, yeah, I think they're all inspirations, every one of them.
So, jumping forward, when did you decide that you wanted to train to become a professional wrestler?
Well, the Ring of Honor School started up around my, I believe it was my senior year in high school. They brought in the first class.
So how did he find out about Ring of Honor and the school?
Yeah, well, that was that post-ECW period where CZW moved into the ECW arena. That was, me and my buddies in high school all went to check out CZW because they were the hot thing. And then we heard about Ring of Honor not too long after that. So, that was really my first foray into independent wrestling on a very involved level, were CZW and Ring of Honor, at least the post-ECW period. And I looked through my options, too. I saw what the guys at the CZW school were doing. That wasn't really something that I saw myself fitting into. I saw what Ring of Honor was doing with their wrestlers. I saw, how they advertised their school was just a little bit different. I really liked what they were offering, I thought. And I just thought that was the place where I wanted to go if I was going to train to be a wrestler.
And who was your trainer? Because I believe Ring of Honor's had a variety of different trainers throughout the years.
Revolving door.
Yeah.
This is actually this is joked about a lot. So
really,
this may be the first time I clear the air on this ever.
Right here on the Juicy Details. Go at it.
Yeah. Here are the Juicy Details right here. CM Punk was the head trainer when I did my tryouts. A lot of people, the inside joke is Punk never really trained us. What happened was this. Punk ran the tryouts, and the tryouts were, it was grueling. I believe it was 98 degrees outside the day we did our tryout. We went right outside, we did 500 Hindu squats. We did about 200 sit-ups, 100 different variations of push-ups. We did about 5 minutes of sprint drills, then we did a half-hour run just around the pond outside the school there. There was no screwing around with Punk. He was day-to-day trainer for us and my class for about, I'm going to say, 4 months. It was this point where he was having his cup of coffee with WWE, and he was doing his dark matches. Everything was very hushed at this point. People weren't talking about it, but obviously something was going on. Shane Hagedorn took over interim for about a month of training us. But then, after that month, Austin Aries came in, and head trainer roles transitioned over to Austin Aries. So I had about 4 months under CM Punk, 1 month under Shane Hagedorn, and then I believe there's about 5 more months of training under Austin Aries. So now everyone from that second class of ROH graduates were actually legitimately trained professional wrestlers.
Do you have any preference to any of the trainers, Punk, Hagedorn, or Aries, or were you, were you keen to all three of them equally?
I just picked up, I picked up a lot more on things that Punk said. That was a guy, you just picked his brain whenever he talked, you listened. I think I learned a lot from him, just how to conduct yourself, things to do and not do in the ring. And this was all, those first 4 months were very early things, but Punk laid a good groundwork for all of us to have an idea of what we're going to be doing, what's expected of us, things of that nature. For me personally, I don't think I really started clicking as a professional wrestler until after I started having my first few matches. It was about a year in, and Brian Danielson came into the Ring of Honor school, and he was the head trainer. And they were trying to do new classes with Brian, with new graduates and trainees, and they were calling them advanced classes, where the people who are already graduates could come and train with Brian in a more advanced capacity. That just, I think that's where I really took off. Bryan Danielson may have been the best teacher anywhere I've ever had in my life, school, you know, work, wherever. He was just incredible. I might be trailing off a little bit, but if you're asking me about teachers, I'd say Bryan Danielson was definitely the best that I've ever worked with.
And then let's get into your early years in Ring of Honor, 2005, 2006. What was it like for you working the Ring of Honor shows back then under Gabe and just like getting getting your foot in the ring for the first time, you know, like in front of a live crowd, you know, was it nerve-wracking for you early on?
Yeah, it was a little overwhelming. I actually remember my first Ring of Honor shows as a member of Ring Crew because as a student, rule used to be that you had to do Ring Crew if you were a student. My first weekend of shows were the Jushin Thunder Liger shows, Weekend of Thunder. One of my first things that I was ordered to do was to carry Liger's bags into the building. It was just a very surreal experience. But fast forward to the next year when we were having our first matches, you look around that locker room, especially myself, I certainly didn't feel like I fit in. But the locker room was always very welcoming. For the most part, everyone wanted, because you gotta understand, a lot of the guys that were in Ring of Honor, always really, the guys that are in Ring of Honor all started, you know, somewhere cutting their teeth on independent wrestling companies, and they see the students come in, and you know, they always see a bit of themselves in the students when they were first starting, and they're very supportive. They want to help everyone get better. So it's a pretty positive atmosphere, even if it is a little overwhelming, you know, seeing the rest of the talent that's on the card and then, you know, you have one of your first matches. It was very overwhelming. But when you got out there, you know, it reaffirmed why Ring of Honor was the place I wanted to wrestle. That was the kind of crowd, you know, they're very demanding, but they're very appreciative of wrestling above all else. Most of the fans are willing to, you know, they're willing to look at the wrestling for what it is. They're not trying to, you know, make jokes or jump on someone. They're just appreciative of wrestling, period. And that's why I always wanted to perform in Ring of Honor above anywhere else.
Now, again, I'm not trying to knock on your size or anything, but do you ever feel like at some point or another that did you ever think in your mind that your size was going to hold you back a little bit in your career, or did you never have any worries about that?
Well, yes and no. Like, you know, realistically looking at, like, Vince McMahon was never going to give me a call. You know, but at the same time, where I was and what I was doing, especially my character in Ring of Honor, like, I always looked at it like this. If I say that I put on like 70 pounds, you know, at the time the man in Ring of Honor was Austin Aries. If I put on, you know, 70 pounds, I felt like I would have been a second rate Austin Aries when I can stick with where I am now, and I was the only Pelly Primo, and I was the best Pelly Primo, you know? That's what I focused on. I couldn't worry about, you know, this guy's size or that guy's size or how people are going to look at me. I had to let my performance shine through every time. And like I said, like, I always believed this, too. Like, for what I was doing in Ring of Honor, I felt I was the right size and I was the right body type. I had a job to do in Ring of Honor, and I think I did it better than anyone in the country at that point, quite frankly. I was pretty confident in my performances.
Okay, no, that sounds good.
Yeah.
And then, What were some of your favorite matches and memories from Ring of Honor all these years?
Well,
is there a special match that you have in mind that you like will always have in the back of your mind as being like the best match you've ever had in Ring of Honor?
There's two that stand out actually. One of them was the six-man mayhem in Dayton, Ohio. It was part of the Samoa Joe farewell tour. What are they calling it? The Milestone Series? I forget off the top of my head. But
I believe you're thinking of the 50-year festival. It was the 5-year anniversary.
Yes, you got it. Yeah. I believe that was me, Mark Briscoe, Roderick Strong, Matt Cross, Shingo, and Claudio were all in that match.
I'm surprised you could remember all 5 of them.
Yeah, it's the hardest part. I think about like halfway through the match, sometimes you just know when something special's happening, and you just know something's right in professional wrestling. It's probably one of the best feelings in the world when you know that, like, you struck gold for a minute here. I clearly remember there's one point where I'm in the corner and Shingo chops me so hard, I wasn't even reacting to it. I just fell and started involuntarily shaking. And in the corner of my eye, I saw Roderick got so, he like got insulted that Shingo chopped me this hard that then it just turned into a chop off that he had to chop me harder. But you could just tell as things went on throughout that match that something special was happening. And I got a pretty nice show of respect from the Dayton crowd after the match. And it just justified, you know, like I said earlier, why I always want to wrestle in Ring of Honor. The fans, above all else, size, stature, whatever, they're wrestling fans. And they're real wrestling fans. And wrestling was always, you know, their first concern, first and foremost. There was also my lights out match in Chicago against Chris Hero that I was very proud of. This was, I think, leading towards the end of my run in Ring of Honor. I remember going into that match, I had double vision, had a lot of concussion problems going into that match. And this was around the time Chris Hero had just started the Young Knockout Kid offense. A lot of it was still developing, and unfortunately I became a guinea pig for a lot of it. And I remember being knocked out actually in the first 10 seconds of that match. That match almost ended because I was planted early on in the match. But I got up and I finished it, and that, I think that ended up being definitely my best singles performance in Ring of Honor ever.
Oh, yeah, no, I think I remember that match. Hero, he just whipped the shit out of you, man.
Yeah.
But no, I agree. Definitely one of your better performances during your Ring of Honor career. And that just sucks knowing that you had concussion problems at that time going into what was pretty much a last man standing match against the Young Knockout Kid.
Yeah.
Did it make things any worse? Did it get any worse after that, or?
I don't know if they got any worse. They certainly didn't get any better. it was pretty much all downhill from about a month before that. The concussion started getting really bad. And it wasn't any one thing that was after that that was really that bad. It was just I never recovered from you know, I had a string of a couple or 3 in a row, maybe. I just never really recovered from any of them. So, like, you know, if you just caught me the wrong way, you just gave my head a little jolt, I'd be gone again.
Sorry. Well, let's talk about why you left Ring of Honor shortly after that time. What were your reasons behind it? And, like, did you have any animosity towards Ring of Honor or the booking or whatsoever? Or was it more of just a mutual ending relationship?
No. The end of my time in Ring of Honor in I believe, summer of 2008 was my last official match there. There was no ill will whatsoever. Gabe Sapolsky, and I was on board with Ring of Honor still after this. I had a few, I poked my head up out of the blue a couple times, in the future, but, I always love working for Gabe Sapolsky. I feel like Gabe Sapolsky's a guy who, and I'm not talking about anyone specifically, but in my experience with Gabe, I always felt that in professional wrestling, on any level, I think sometimes you have people who, they put people in positions based on whether or not sometimes they want to help their boys out. Gabe Sapolsky was never that man, and he still isn't. And I admire him so much for that. Gabe Sapolsky has always put the person that he feels is the absolute best person for that position, regardless of how he feels about them. I know from experience of seeing him deal with people that he doesn't particularly like or is fond of, but felt that they are the best guy for the spot. And I always feel like they have been the best guy for the spot. Now, whether or not the fans agree that that spot is something that should be on the show, you know, they can contest that. But, I'm just going into Gabe Sapolsky Love Fest here, but I always felt Gabe was a guy, and he still is, who books the best person for the best situation always, regardless of, you know, his relationship with them outside of wrestling. You know, Gabe gave me the chance from day one. He saw something in me that I don't think any other booker or matchmaker saw in me necessarily, but Gabe saw it, and Gabe utilized it the way he saw fit, and I think it really, worked there for a while, and I'm always going to be in debt to Gabe for, you know, what he did for Pelle Primo, definitely.
Well, after Ring of Honor, did you have any aspirations of wanting to work for Gabe's company, Dragon Gate USA and Evolve, or?
I did, but at that point, I wasn't really in the running as a wrestler anymore. I had one foot out the door at that point. If I had the choice, I think I would have gone for it in a heartbeat. However, at the time Dragon Gate and Evolve were coming up, I had created some responsibilities outside of wrestling for myself. So I was already one foot out the door, and I knew this. So you know, I kind of stuck to some smaller companies in New Jersey for my last couple of years. But if things were different at that time, I think I would have tried to work there. Yes, absolutely.
Well, yeah, so you did work for a couple companies in New Jersey through 2012, and then I believe it was that year that you officially retired from professional wrestling. Can we get to the reason why you decided to, you know, end your career at that point?
Yeah, and like I said, I had a lot of responsibilities brewing for myself outside of wrestling. I knew that Pelle Primo, like that kind of performer for the size and stature and what he does in the ring especially, you've got a shelf life on that. You can't keep doing it. My head is better these days, but I knew that if, you know, I stepped out of a place in Jersey where I'm more so just having fun in the ring, and if I step back into a Ring of Honor ring or a company of that caliber, concussion problems are going to come back the next night, you know? And there's a lot of other injuries that I've accrued over the years that, you know, were telling me that professional wrestling had kind of ran its course for me. I think I did everything that I could do. I'm proud of everything I did. I really don't think I had anything left to prove performance-wise to anyone, including myself. I had a pretty good job offer lined up. I took that, and I haven't looked back. I'm doing pretty good for myself. Pretty happy. I check up on wrestling every now and then. I still follow independent wrestling more so than what's on TV right now. But yeah, there was no, I hate to be a bore, but there was no drama. There's no, tumultuous ending to my time in professional wrestling. It was just things ran their course and they are what they are, and I'm happy for it. Definitely.
So if the chance came, if like an opportunity came where, Gabe offered you something, Ring of Honor, or even one of the bigger companies, let's say, would you ever think about making a full-time return to wrestling, or are you content with your life outside of right now?
And that's the thing. I'm not sure if I could return full-time to wrestling. I think, you know, like I said, I want to take care of my future years. I want to make sure that I'm not brain dead or in a wheelchair in the next 10 years. So it's in my best interest to stay at least out of the ring. If someone were to offer me a position in the company in some other capacity, I would consider it, but there's a lot of factors that I would have to consider, especially considering my job right now. But never say never. I'll always be around wrestling, I think. I don't think it's ever going anywhere. I don't think I'm leaving it altogether anytime soon. So, yeah, if something arose, I would like it. I would like to look into it, but never say never. I'm not expecting to get a call from anyone anytime soon, though, however.
No, I think you make a good point. You know, you got to watch out for your health. You got to just do what's in your best interest, and if that is not being involved with wrestling in the ring, then by all means, that's a good move, I guess.
Yeah. Believe me, I have no delusions of grandeur regarding Pele Primo. There is no plan on the table to come back for a title run anywhere or anything like that, for that matter.
Well, like you said, never say never.
Yeah.
Now, I have a fan question here. I don't get them often, I'll be honest. But Dave Muscarella, good buddy Dave from Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet you know him. He sent in a question, well, technically two questions, but I'm only going to ask one, because.
Sure.
What are your five favorite things about the Xbox One? Because I see your tweets all the time. You're a video game expert, so to say, you know.
Five favorite things about the Xbox One. Number one, the United States sales figures. Number two, the fact that they had to reverse all of their policies pre-launch regarding used games.
Good move.
Yeah. Too little, too late.
Yeah.
Number three, I can't tell you five things I like about those guys. They just make me sick.
I got it. So you're a PS, just you're a PlayStation guy?
Look. I'm gonna go on a video game tangent here.
By all means.
It's because the question was brought up. People like to call me a PlayStation fanboy, but, if you actually look at what I'm saying, I'm not any one console fanboy. I just think sometimes people make the right moves and people make the wrong moves. And if you're looking at Microsoft and Sony, Sony is making more not wrong moves than Microsoft right now. That's reflecting in the sales data. That's reflecting in the install base. Not saying Sony's perfect. They're screwing up a lot lately too, but no, I just think a purchase for Microsoft's gaming console is a move to hurt the console gaming industry after everything they've done in the past year. That's all.
I wish I knew more about video games and the systems to have an input on this, but I don't. Every now and then I play Grand Theft Auto on my 360, but besides that, I'm just like, eh. But I might get a PS4 soon, because it's definitely the better of the two systems.
It's a fantastic box. They made a great product.
Ooh, all right, well.
Yeah.
I'll take your word for it. And if it sucks, I'm going to come right after you.
Absolutely not. You'll be blown away. It's a great product. They knocked it out of the park, man. They really did.
Well, it's getting to the end of the show, and what I'd like to do now at the end of the show is I do a thing called Juicy Association. It's pretty much just word/name association, which means I'm going to name off eight names of guys that you've worked with over the years throughout your career, and then you got to give just one word, the first word that pops in your head about them, and say it. And then if you have a story about them, by all means, you can tell it. Yeah.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
First name, Bobby Dempsey.
My buddy. Bobby's my buddy from way back.
Buddy? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, next name, Rhett Titus.
Ooh, I don't want to say too much.
By all means, you can.
Rhett, I'll tell a story about Rhett. Rhett was a guy I really busted his balls when he first came on Ring Crew. This guy used to wear, what were they? The Bugle Boy jeans or something, spray painted on the jeans. Just ridiculous. I rode that guy so hard. I honestly thought he would quit halfway through training, but he certainly proved me wrong. Rhett's doing great for himself, and I'm proud of him.
Sounds like the one word would be jeans.
Yeah.
Okay, next name. Shane Hagedorn.
Jerk.
Yeah, well, it's pretty vague, but I think it gets to the point.
Yeah, Shane Hagedorn and I have quite a history. That feud will carry on forever, I think.
Next name, Mitch Franklin, also known as Grizzly Redward.
I was going to say Grizzly. The artist formerly known as Mitch Franklin. I hear Grizzly's still kicking about these days. I hear he's on the comeback right now, actually.
Yeah, he just made his return, and I'm excited for it. Really. I love it.
Yeah, I am too.
What a beard.
Grizzly's awesome. Fantastic, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure that's what inspired Daniel Bryan.
You know, funny story.
Oh, okay.
Funny story. Before Grizzly became Grizzly, he was looking for something to really catapult Mitch Franklin onto the next level. And he started this thing on the pre-shows where he decided he would call himself Mr. Small Package. And he would win with the small package every match, and he decided that this was going to be his thing. And I distinctly remember Brian coming up to Mitch Franklin then in the locker room and saying, "Ah, Mr. Small Package, I'm going to use that." And that was pretty much the beginning and the end of the argument, because
I remember that night too when he won. He beat Nigel in a small package in Cleveland.
Yes.
And
yes.
From there on out, it was Mr. Small Package.
Yeah, it was lifted from Mitch Franklin immediately. That was the beginning and end of the argument. So, you know, some people saying that, you know, it's a little far-fetched to think he's ripping off Grizzly right now, but, I don't know. Stranger things have happened.
Speculation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next name. Delirious.
Lizard face guy. He was an old pal of mine, a little hard to understand, but I haven't seen Delirious in quite a while, as a matter of fact.
As far as you can tell, do you think he's doing a fine job as Ring of Honor booker?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think the company's doing well. I think they're in good hands.
Okay, another former Ring of Honor booker, Adam Pearce.
Can I plead the fifth on that one?
Okay, sure. Sure. I'm guessing there's a story behind that, but if you'd rather not tell it.
You gotta understand there's certain things I can say and can't say.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. Love you, Adam.
Okay, next name is Brent Aubrey.
Oh, come on. Double whammy. Well, you know, what bridge am I going to burn here? Brent Albright's boys are coming to get me. That guy was insufferable. The absolute worst.
Really? Wow.
And, yeah, just, well, you want to talk about concussions. Some people just take themselves a little too far. Brent Albright was a guy who took himself way too far. And he took himself right out of wrestling, so.
I would love to get him on the podcast, because, you know, this is where they now month, and I don't think anyone has any clue where he's at.
No, yeah, neither do I. He burrowed under a hole somewhere.
More speculation. And the last name I have, hopefully let's not make this a triple whammy, Larry Sweeney.
Ah, 12 large, man. Oh, we love Larry Sweeney. Think about him every day, honestly. We love him.
Yeah, just hearing the news that day, just I would say it made most of the wrestling world just sad.
Yeah, I don't think anyone will forget where they were and what they were doing that day, definitely.
Do you have any favorite memories or moments with Sweeney?
You know, we actually got in a car and drove down to FIP once. Assorted car, a lot of guys. We just had a lot of fun. I was wingman on the passenger seat with Sweeney while he was driving, and he's just a fun guy. Everyone had fun with Larry. Seriously. You had to experience him to know what it was like. He was the best.
Well, as he would say, ain't no doubt about it.
Yes.
Well, Pelly, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was a pleasure. Is there anything you would like to say to end the show? You know, you can plug your Twitter, Facebook if you have one. Anything coming up for you? Or, well, anything.
Yeah, let me plug my Twitter here. It's a Primo31. You'll get video game news, probably not much else, but I think I got some pretty valid opinions. I got some good news there. Check it out. My roommate Veda Scott here is telling me to buy her, to tell people to buy her merch. She has a t-shirt coming, so definitely check that out. Well, I always put you over. Come on. She's the best. Thank anyone who listened. I want to thank anyone who listened. Thank anyone who ever watched one of my matches, whether you loved me or hated me. And it was usually either one of the two. There wasn't much people indifferent about me. thank you for being wrestling fans. Thank you for being passionate. Thank you for just watching and supporting everyone. Thank you.
If it means anything, I loved you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on the show.
No, yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you for coming on, taking time out of your day.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and as Pelly just said, thank you for listening to the Juicy Details podcast. We'll see you around. Thank you.